Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Advice to the Lovelorn Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, here's an item that caught my attention last week. There was a study. It came out in the Journal of Family Psychology. And it found, are you ready for this?
What? I don't look ready?
This is great news for you. The study found that marriages are better when a woman, you ready?
Yeah.
A woman marries a guy who is uglier than she is.
Well, it's been working for me.
Exactly. In fact, I think they call it the Ray Magnazzi study.
But sadly,
yeah.
Well, sadly, that strategy has not worked for you.
No.
No. Even though you've executed it successfully twice.
Yes, I have. Both times, I was significantly uglier than my wives, and both times, they dumped me anyway.
Well, you know, maybe there's a range, and maybe you fell outside the limits of the range. I mean, there's cute, and there's homely, and then there's, you know, wake up and scream kind of ugly.
You think there was too great a differential there?
Could be. I mean, look, let's do this. For wife number three, and I know that she's probably out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to try someone a little closer to your level of pulchritude. Like Mr. Ed. Anyway, look, if you've got some advice for my brother or a problem with your car, but more importantly, advice for him, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brooke from Oak Park, Illinois.
Hi, Brooke.
Brooke, is there an E at the end of it?
There is an E. Thanks for asking.
Oh, where are you from?
I'm not from here, but I live in Oak Park, Illinois right now.
Is the E in the end of Oak Park?
Yes.
So what's going on, Brooke?
Okay, so I have a 1997 Chevy Lumina, which I love, and it's a gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful car.
Okay,
and
if you say so.
This is, like I said, I love this car, and me and my fiancé only have one car, so we drive this thing constantly everywhere.
Yeah.
So when we put it in reverse and apply the brake, it makes a noise like this. It goes, and it happens to be very, very loud. And sometimes people on the street, it startles them and they look at us. So I'm just wondering what this is. We had the brakes checked, and my dad is my only mechanic, and he looked at everything and said it was wonderful. So I'm hoping this isn't going to be expensive.
So automatic transmission?
Automatic.
So when you put your, you got your foot on the brake?
When you're like going into reverse and you're pressing on the brake, it makes that noise.
So as it's moving, you hear the noise?
As it's moving in reverse, we hear the noise.
Okay.
And the noise is coming from the back?
That's the thing. I can't tell. It's so loud. I can't tell where it's coming from.
But is your fiance ever in the car when this happens?
Yeah, always.
Throw him out and have him lie down on the pavement so he can listen to it. I mean, this is in the interest of science, Brooke. You've got to take all, you know, serious, drastic measures here.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it's coming for this. This car has disc brakes in the rear.
Right. Yes.
And
right.
I'm guessing that it's coming from one of those disc brake calipers.
Yep. Mm.
Do you apply the handbrake at night when you park?
Yes.
You
do.
I got a feeling it's maybe not releasing entirely.
Really?
It's just a guess.
Does it happen?
Well, like all of
the
our
time?
Answers, it's just a guess. But this is, you know.
Does it happen all the time, or does it stop?
It happens like 70 to 75% of the time.
And then once you start moving forward, the noise is pretty much gone?
It's fine, yeah.
If you were to stop maybe an hour, you know, after driving a half an hour or an hour and put it in reverse and like back into a parking space, there's no more noise, right?
There is noise, yes.
There is noise?
There is noise.
There is noise.
There is.
Okay, wait a minute then.
Oh, okay. Where are you from again?
Illinois.
All right. And there is noise. And give us the noise again.
It goes.
Really?
Yes. Just in reverse.
Yeah.
When does it not happen? Can you?
Well, we were trying to pay attention to the weather because we thought maybe like on good, sunny, happy days,
the car just liked
it better.
No, it's
but
not
no,
true.
It did it too.
Yeah.
How long has it been doing this?
Like a year.
And now you call?
You've been on hold for a year. Now, is it true that it makes the noise as you take your foot off the brake?
Yeah, actually, you know what? It might when we take it off, like when you kind of back off on it a little, I think that's when it actually makes the noise.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it is coming from the brakes.
From the rear brake?
Yeah. And you can try this experiment if you can find a parking lot in which to do it.
Okay.
Start backing up. Of course, when you're backing up, you always have your foot on the brake because, you feel that the car's going to run out of control.
Right.
Take your foot off completely.
Okay.
You know, and make sure that there aren't, storefronts to drive into. But take it off completely and see if the noise doesn't completely go away when you do that.
Okay. And if it goes away?
If it goes away, then it is the rear brakes.
The rear brakes.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. Let's just pretend like I do absolutely nothing. Is this going to kill me?
We don't have to pretend because you have done absolutely nothing for a year. It doesn't seem likely that it's going to kill you. And I guess Dad, you say, looked at it.
Right.
And he must have pulled the wheels because he wouldn't want his daughter driving around in a car that was dangerous. So
right.
I'm guessing he didn't find anything bad.
No, he didn't.
And I'm trying to remember. We had some problems with some GM cars of yesteryear. And I would classify this as a car of yesteryear.
Yeah.
That had problems when we used relined brakes.
Ah.
That they made noise.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommendation, I don't remember if it applied to this particular car, but the recommendation from GM was to use new brake shoes.
Mm.
And that solved the problem. And this may have been one of the problems.
But do this experiment in the empty parking lot.
All right.
Put it in reverse and just take your foot completely off the brake. You don't have to step on the gas.
And I wouldn't have your fiancé lying down in the parking lot when you do this because this could
be dangerous.
Okay.
Yeah, and keep your eyes open because you never know what's going to happen. Good luck, Brooke.
Okay, thanks so much.
See you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Let us know.
Call us back. Have your lawyer call us. See you later. Oh, boy. 888 Car Talk. That's 888.
A year?
Well, it didn't seem that serious. And it isn't. I don't think it is serious.
I don't think it's serious either.
But I didn't want to tell her. I didn't want to tell her that. 888-227-8255. How long has your MG been leaking oil?
A year.
Okay. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Elizabeth in Montgomery, Alabama.
Hi, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yes, well.
I've seen you.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to talk to you.
Well, we're excited to talk to you.
Well?
I have a feeling that you have a new baby.
No, I don't.
You're going to, though.
No?
No.
No. Well, I see a baby in your future, Elizabeth.
Oh, I hope not too.
I'm psychic.
Soon.
She's 16.
Oh, no.
Well, why do you say no? Are you like unmarried?
Oh, I'm married. I'm 25, but.
Oh.
I just finished school and I'm in my first job. We're holding off for a while.
I mean, I hate to say it, Elizabeth, but you know that I'm psychic. And I see a little baby girl coming along any minute now.
Any minute?
Naomi.
A girl would be nice.
Naomi.
Naomi. All right, if you want that. Whatever.
I bet the any minute part. I'm not with that.
Any minute would be tough.
I'm not with that. Oh, no. I didn't know this was a psychic hotline.
Psychic hotline.
I have a car problem.
Well, you do. Elizabeth? Okay, all right, we'll help.
Okay.
Okay, well, my problem is, it's a fairly simple problem. I have a nail in my tire, and it's actually, I have my husband's truck this year. I'm living in Montgomery, and he is up in North Carolina.
That lends a lot of credence to my little baby story, doesn't it?
Are you kidding me? Even more.
Oh, even more.
Even more.
Oh.
I mean, you must see each other once in a while.
We do.
I'm sure those sparks fly, so you never know what could happen.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so you got a nail in your tire.
Nail in his tire.
A nail in his tire. It's a Toyota 4Runner, 1992. And the way I found it, we met in Savannah a couple weeks ago, and I drove from Montgomery to Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah's pretty romantic, isn't it?
Very, very. It's beautiful. Yeah. Great place.
Yeah.
So I get all the way to Savannah, and I'm filling up with gas, and I looked right below where you put the gas in on the tire. It just happened to be up there. I saw a nail.
Yeah.
A little bitty nail. And so when I met Darren at the bed and breakfast, I said, Darren, I have some bad news. We have a nail in the tire. I figured we'd want to get it looked at tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, I bet we can make it back. Because he was coming back to Montgomery with me.
Gotcha.
We didn't get around to it there. We're having too good of a time. And he drove it back. The trip back was uneventful, no problem. And I haven't gotten around. That was a week and a half ago. I haven't gotten around getting it fixed. The tire is not deflated at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering what's going to happen when I have the nail taken out. Am I going to need to get new tires?
No.
The problem is they look like very expensive tires. They're big. they're those big macho SUV tires.
And despite the fact that they're just rubber. And if you just if you didn't have the hole in the middle, and they weren't hollow, they would take up about the size, about as much volume as a can of Coke.
Oh.
And if someone said to you to pay $100 for that much rubber, you'd tell them you was crazy.
Right.
But because they have that big hole in the middle, it makes them look huge.
And the lettering.
And the lettering.
They're blowing all the money on the lettering on the sides. I mean, if it weren't for that, they'd be a buck a piece.
There would be. Exactly. They'd be a buck a piece. Here's the deal. I mean, this is an interesting philosophical question. I mean, do you let sleeping dogs lie? Because the truth is that when you pull that nail out, you're going to get a flat, obviously, because the air's going to come out. Right.
The nail is keeping the air from leaking out. Maybe.
The nail
is it a big nail? I mean, is a big head on it?
No, it's a pretty small head, and it couldn't be any longer than an inch.
Oh, then it's penetrated the tread, and it's into the air.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and in fact, when you have it fixed, that's what they're going to do. They're going to put another nail in there to plug it up, but the nail's going to be made out of rubber.
Okay.
They're going to put a little plug in it. But you certainly will not need a new tire just because of this little piddling little nail.
Well, but once I get it patched, do you think I can count on that?
Oh,
I think
sure.
So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you had a filling put into your tooth,
yes,
you wouldn't, like, throw your whole head away.
Right? Or not eat.
Or you wouldn't even throw the whole tooth away.
What's your husband's name, by the way?
Darren.
That's interesting. I thought you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Darren. Elizabeth Montgomery and Darren.
I didn't even
from
think
about Bewitched.
That.
Wow.
Oh, 8 months.
And little pebbles there.
8 months.
What
was, what was the name of the baby?
Tabitha.
Tabitha, there you go.
I see a little Tabitha in your future.
Oh.
You are going to make a wonderful mother.
Oh, well, thank you.
You really are. I can tell. I see it, man. I see it.
Thanks.
I've never been right about anything like that.
But there's always a first time. See you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Gee, we handled that one quite well. A nail. That's about the level of technology.
And it still took us 8 minutes.
That's about the level of technology that we can deal with.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John. I'm from Jackson, Wyoming.
Hi, John.
And I'm having a little bit of a problem with a Honda Civic hatchback. It's a 1990, and I got about 113,000 miles on it.
And only 119,000?
Yeah.
Not miles.
Yeah, I've only had it the last few years.
It couldn't have come from Wyoming because it would have 119 million miles on it.
Maybe it does.
It comes from Oregon, actually.
Oh, Oregon. That's
better. Yeah, that's a lot better.
So what's happening with it?
What's happening is occurs when I'm accelerating around a corner. Like, say I'm at a stop, and I'm turning onto a road.
Mm-hmm.
And
you floor it, which is the usual way to drive if you live in Wyoming.
Oh, jeez,
right.
Man, you are. He's having a bad day today.
It's a Honda Civic, so I have to get out of the way.
It's a Honda Civic, right.
Yeah.
Trying to get out of the way of the semis.
And the cattle.
And the cows, right.
And there's a knocking noise, essentially, or a clucking noise, I like to call it. But
clucking, that's good.
And it seems to be louder and more rapid the faster I accelerate or the sharper I turn.
Yeah, and it's coming from the driver's side of the car?
It comes from both sides.
Oh,
now.
You
oh,
poor guy.
Great. A double whammy. I just realized we should adopt the Starbucks approach to things. Someone comes in and he needs, for example, CV joints. And we and in the case of John, you'd say, doppio?
Doppio, yeah. Which is Starbucks for double.
Double.
And you need, I'm afraid, two axles replaced.
Really?
Yeah, because what's wrong is the outer CV joints on both of the axles are worn to the point where they're eventually going to break. And when they break...
That's not good.
Well, the wheels won't fall off, but you won't be able to drive the car.
Right.
And you could be out in nowhere. You live in nowhere still. Never mind. Sorry.
You could be. Oops.
So you need to get them replaced. Although you can, go right to the edge with them.
Yeah.
And we need people like you to push the limits, to find out how long you can go after the initiation of the noise, how long you can go before an axle actually breaks.
Oh, but I'll bet you that this has been making this noise for months.
No. It's actually, it's maybe going on
weeks.
A month.
A month.
Yeah, is it, at the most.
Is it bothersome, or do you think you could live with it?
maybe not, because I'm actually a professional driver. I deliver pizzas. So I can't get stuck out. You can't get
the whole Wyoming economy will collapse if John misses a pizza delivery. So you're going to have the axles replaced.
No. Okay.
And yeah. You might be lucky. It may just be one axle, but from your description.
No, it sounds like it's a Doppio.
I think it's a Doppio, yeah. I'm going to give my brother a Doppio slap when the show's over, too.
Yeah.
See you later, John.
All right, take
Thanks
care.
For your call.
Good luck.
All right, look, I hope that you remember last week's puzzler.
You hope I do? Why?
Because I don't. Actually, I was hoping you'd remember it because you're a central figure in this puzzler.
I am? Is it about a brilliant theoretician who solves festering world problems with a deft hand and a kind touch?
No, it was about a guy with bad hair, a broken-down car, and festering cigar butt in his mouth. And we'll be back with all the details and more of your calls in just a minute, so please don't go anywhere.
Dry roads and blue skies, it's a pretty day to die, watching you drive away. And it just wouldn't be so bad if I knew that the love you have might find its way back someday. But I can see that your leaving is forever. Now I know you know there's something better. Drive away.
And even though Susan Stamberg dives headfirst into her isolation tank whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler, and here it is. It was rather lengthy. Last week, I had the misfortune, or the good fortune, you might say, of riding in Tommy's 52 MGTD with all the disgusting stuff growing in it and empty takeout food boxes, plants sprouting out of the seats. It was then that I realized that MGTD stands for, my God, that's disgusting. Anyway, I'd had a recent tetanus shot.
It was exciting, though.
Oh, it was, as always. I had had a recent tetanus shot, so I accepted his offer and went for a ride. So we're driving along, and at the bottom of this little hill, Tommy lets out the clutch too fast, and the car stalls. He tries to restart it, but it won't start because the starter mode is dead. He says, geez. It's been doing this for a while, and I ordered a new one from England, but they have to carve it out of walnut, so it might take a while. So he says, look, we're going to have to push the car to the top of this little hill, and then it will roll start it on the way down. Now, it happens to be 50 feet from where we are to where the rear wheels crest the hill, and the car will start to roll down the other side. You got that?
Yeah.
So we have to move the car 50 feet. By some stroke of luck, I'm wearing the wrong shoes. High heels. And everyone knows you can't push a car in heels, so Tommy has to do the pushing. So here's what he does. He takes a puff of his cigar, rests it on the bumper, and begins to push. After he pushes the car 3 feet, he stops to rest. And while he's doing that, the car rolls back 2 feet. He then takes another puff of his cigar and pushes again. You got that? So he puffs the cigar, pushes 3 feet, the car rolls back 2 feet. He puffs again, pushes the car 3 feet, it rolls back 2 feet, and so on. So there are two questions here. How many feet before he has a heart attack? And that's question one. And question B, how many puffs will it take Tommy to get the car to the top of the hill, to move the car 50 feet where the rear wheels crest the hill and it can begin rolling down. The other side where we can jump start it?
Well, did you just count them as I was doing it?
That's what I did. You might think that it was 50 puffs, I mean, to the uninitiated. But the fact of the matter is, once Tommy has gotten the thing to 47 feet, right, the next push, it doesn't roll back to 2 feet because it's
at the top of the hill.
Because the rear wheels have reached the crest of the hill, and it's ready to go down the other side.
Yes.
And it can't roll back. And I leave my brother standing there puffing his cigar, and I roll down the hill and jump start it. And I say adios. So the answer is 48 puffs. So do we have a winner?
You bet we do. The winner this week is Sunshine Perlis.
Cool name.
From Fayette, Maine, and for having her answer selected at random. From among all the correct answers that we got, Sunshine gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a CarTalk baseball cap. And the reason I suggest the baseball cap for her is because it has a visor specially designed for what? Sunshine.
Gee, you figure her folks were hippies or what? They had to be, right? Anyway, we have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christy from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Christy.
Christy, how do you spell that?
C-H.
Nope, K-R-I-S-T-I.
I was just testing you, Christy. I knew that.
S-T-I. Really?
I'm calling because I drive a 1999 Kia Sportage, and started making this really bad rattling noise coming from the engine, and I was wondering if you guys could take a listen to it and see if you can figure out what it is.
You expect us to make a house call?
Yeah, well, I'm in my car right now.
You are?
Yeah.
And you're going to start it up, and we're going to hear the clunk, 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 whatever the heck it is.
All right.
Go ahead.
Go.
Okay.
Oh, shut it off.
Oh, my God.
Is it fixable?
Wait, when did it start doing this?
A few days ago. It's been sitting in my garage.
Oh, so you have not been driving it, noise.
And longest period? You want to start it again?
Well, no, because there's oil pouring out of the bottom of it now.
There's oil pouring out of the bottom of it now.
Yeah.
Oh, oh no. when last it was driven, which teenage child of yours drove it?
No, it was just me. I was on the highway, and it made a terrible shudder and then started making that rattle noise. So.
And then how far did you drive it?
Probably like about another 5 miles. Very slowly, though.
But all the time that you drove it, it was making that horrendous sound.
Yeah, when I step on the gas, it rattles even faster.
Yeah.
So the oil that's leaking out, is that
pouring, actually.
It's pouring out.
Well,
I suspect it's been pouring out the whole time, and maybe you didn't notice it.
I didn't notice
that. That noise you're hearing, you see, the oil is supposed to serve as the microscopic cushion between the vital moving parts of the engine, namely the crankshaft and the connecting rods.
Mm-hmm.
And for one reason or another, you either ran out of oil or something failed. Maybe a connecting rod bolt broke.
Yeah, I don't think you ran out of oil if it happened as quickly as you say it did.
Yeah, well, yeah, now it's, yeah, because it's just pouring out now.
Sounds to me, one of two things could have happened. Neither of which is good, by the way.
Yeah.
You didn't have the oil change just before this all took place, did you?
No.
That's too bad. You can blame it on them. That's what our customers would have done. Anyway, here's what I guess happened. You have a classic bearing wrap, and I think you may have actually lost a connecting rod end, which then flew through the oil pan or maybe the side of the block. So the oil is pouring out of some place that it was never intended to pour out of.
Yeah. And it'll be immediately apparent when someone has the courage to crawl underneath and take a look.
I'm kind of looking at it right now, just watching it drift.
How much oil is on the ground right now?
It's about a 2-foot big puddle.
Start it up again.
Okay.
Christy, I mean, it's done for now.
Yeah.
Start it up and get, you have a flashlight?
Yeah.
Football helmet? Fireproof suit? Can you see where the oil's coming out? Hello, Christy!
Oh, yeah.
All right, quick, shut it off.
Shut it off. Could you see where it was coming from?
Yeah, it's coming from, like, right by the front right tire.
Okay, out of the side of the engine.
Yeah.
Okay, you're done for.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, so here's what you do now. You go to the supermarket and you buy about 6 bags of kitty litter.
That's going to be my follow-up question. How do I clean up oil off my garage floor now?
Yeah, kitty litter. And then when you've swept it all up, and it'll absorb that stuff very well, you can take that, put it in a plastic bag, and take it to a repair shop and ask them if they can throw it in their recycling bin.
Okay.
Yeah, they recycle it into,
and
you know.
Then if you want to keep this vehicle, go down to the local junkyard and see if they have an engine that they'll sell you.
Okay.
Or see if they're accepting applications for new Kias.
Exactly, yeah, if I can get financing for a new car.
Yeah, boy,
oh,
this
goodness.
Is very sad.
Yeah, I mean, are you ready for a new car? Because if you're not...
Yeah, I was thinking of getting a new car anyway.
Oh, okay.
So you figure you're going to buy another Kia?
No.
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 What didn't you like? Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, was the play all right?
Yes.
Other than this little thing, was the car basically okay?
Not really. I mean, the suspension was very rough on it, and it was good for hauling my dog around because it was the convertible type, so he liked to ride in the back. But
well, make a tape recording of that noise before you send this car off, because it'll be fun playing it for your friends.
It is beautiful.
See you later.
Thank you, guys.
Bye bye.
It doesn't get any worse.
Exactly.
It doesn't get any worse than that. Pretty much.
You can't get worse than that.
Wow. All right. Well, thanks for your help.
By the way, for anyone who's ever experienced this kind of a noise. When it happens, it's usually the end of the world, but you made it the end of the world by continuing to drive it.
Mm.
Yeah. If you had pulled over within a few seconds, if that was feasible, and had the thing towed, you might have been able to save the engine.
Oh, wow.
But to continue driving when it was making that noise.
But you might have been saying, yippee, I can get rid of this thing now.
I can chunk it now.
Yeah, well, you got your wish.
She was saying that.
See you, Christy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK, that's 888.
Didn't you have a noise like this once when you...
Who, me? I did, as a matter of fact.
You did?
Yes.
And you didn't stop either?
No. Yeah, well, I was in a little different situation. My car was under warranty.
And he said,
I was in the far left-hand lane.
Yeah, I understand.
And a connecting rod let go, and I had a very similar noise, and smoke was pouring out the back because
and you could have shut off the engine and.
Well, no, I would have. I was in the left-hand lane of Route 95. Right? I had my kids in the car and a couple of plants. You know, and my brand new table saw.
Yeah,
you know, and I didn't want them to rebuild that engine. I wanted them to take that smoking, melted mass of metal
and throw it away
and discard it.
Yeah,
which they had to do, and they said,
"But you knew you were." Under warranty, and she knew that she wasn't.
Yeah, but in either case, we're both happy.
Yeah.
Anyway, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Ray. It's Drew from Cranberry, New Jersey.
Hey, Drew. I have a son named Drew. I see him from time to time, but not too often.
I have a restitution problem.
Yeah.
I was trying to do my girlfriend a favor by washing her car and accidentally put a 3-foot scratch/dent in her hood.
Oh, how'd you do that?
You know those blue mops with the sponge that closes when you cock it?
Yeah.
Little did I know that there was like a half-inch thick running parallel underneath it pole.
Yeah.
And when I went to go give the lunging, like, power stroke,
there it was.
All the paint, and she was so mad, she drove away with soap and water flying off her car.
Whoa.
How old a car is this?
It's a pristine 2002 Chevy Prism.
No, it was.
It was pristine, yes.
Now it's a Chevy Prism with a big scratch on the hood.
Yeah. She doesn't know if she should call the insurance and say some bozo put it there.
No, she can't do that.
Okay. Well, it's true, though.
Oh, yeah, well, some bozo did it. Yeah,
but
if they ask if she knows the bozo, she's going to have to tell the truth.
I said that you guys should just give us two more bumper stickers and maybe three and just line them up real nice right over the hood.
Here's the important, if I were your lawyer, and I think you're going to need one, did she ask you to wash her car or did you offer?
Oh, man.
No, come on, this is very important. Lie if you have to.
Okay, she asked me.
You don't remember, do you?
No.
You don't, huh?
Yeah,
but see, if she asked you to wash your car, then I think she assumes all liability. I mean, you were doing a good deed. She asked you to wash your car. She knows you're not an expert. If you were, you'd be working at the car wash.
Well, I don't like taking lawyers as the basis for all of this.
No? What would you like to do?
I would like to discuss fixing it.
Oh, Drew, but Drew does. I don't think Drew wants to fix it.
I think Drew has to fix it.
I think Drew should fix it, too.
Oh, jeez.
I've been listening the whole time. This is Drew's girlfriend.
She's been giving me nasty looks the whole time.
What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah.
With an H?
Yes.
Well, I think Drew is going to fix it, because how can he...
It's been like this for a couple of weeks now. I'm not so sure.
No, it's all right. He's been thinking about it for 2 weeks.
So, Sarah, how long did it take for your blood pressure to come down? Obviously, you were ticked off. You got in the car. You drove off with the suds flying. You were steamed, right?
Well,
I'm sure you called him every name in the book, you stupid. How long did it take before you called him up? Or I don't know who initiated the first phone call. I'm guessing Drew did, but it might have been you.
I ran for cover.
You ran for cover, and you called Sarah and said, "I'm sorry, I overreacted, Drew." Is that how it went?
No, not what happened.
You called him and said, "You jerk, when are you going to fix my hood?"
Well, not to mention that I'm a college student and currently unemployed.
Ah. How long is the scrape?
Oh, it's pretty big.
Is it like a foot?
A little more.
More?
A yard?
So 15 or 20 inches.
Yeah, that's about right.
How deep is it? Did it deform the metal?
A little.
Oh.
I put all my weight into this one.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't say anything you don't have to say.
Yeah, admit to nothing.
No, you got to go to a body shop.
Well, my question was, do the if you go to like a Walmart or something, do the scratch remover kits or little paste, do they actually work? And
it's not going to work for a 15-inch scratch.
Or in the case if you've removed...
Yeah.
No, the only thing that's going to work here, if you've removed paint and deformed the metal, is you need to have the thing filled in and sanded and primed and painted.
Yeah.
You know, and you take it to a body shop, and it's going to cost you a few hundred bucks.
Okay.
But I think Sarah's going to have to pay for it. Until you get back on your feet.
Wait, does Sarah have a job?
I have a job. He doesn't.
Well, lend him a few hundred bucks, and he'll do you the favor of fixing this thing. And when he gets a job, he'll pay you back.
Yeah.
Sarah, someday this guy's going to be rich, and
you're going to regret
dumping him over this little $200 scratch.
Oh, there's no dumping him. There's a baby on the way.
Oh, okay.
No dumping him.
Don't dump them. Okay.
All right.
Then that's what you have to do.
And trust me, when the baby comes, this scratch will go on the back, will be so far on the back burner, you won't believe it.
I just don't want to have one of those cars that the kids go, "Man, my mom's picking me up from school in that car."
Yeah, the one with the big scratch on it.
Well, that way the kids will know which one to look for. Here comes mom.
No, let's try to forget about the scratch, and the only way you're going to forget about it is to have it fixed. So lend a few hundred bucks to Drew. Let him get it fixed.
See, I think Drew should try to fix it himself.
Oh.
I think you should enroll in the
You're just looking for more and more trouble.
I think Drew should enroll in the adult education course at the high school.
Yeah.
You know, the body work course, and you should try to fix it.
Okay.
Oh, better than this, Drew. You ready? You're going to love this. You're going to get a job as a lackey at a body shop.
Oh.
Right,
that's an idea.
You're going to get a few pointers from the experts.
Yeah,
and you'll start doing it,
and then you start driving her car in with you.
Right, and they'll see the scratches.
Oh, you know what? You got to do with this. Blah 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 blah.
Exactly.
Probably fix it for nothing and get paid.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a real good plan.
So you're going to get the thing fixed. You're going to get Sarah off your back, and you're going to have a job and a career. And next thing you know, who knows? The sky's the limit, man.
Okay, good.
Good luck, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Tom.
Look, we've got to take a break.
You know, most shows don't like to take breaks. I mean, they feel there's a risk that if they go away, even for a minute, they could lose listeners.
Yeah, but we know we consistently gain listeners when we go away.
Yeah, so call your friends and tell them it's okay to tune in now.
That's right, but tell them to hurry and enjoy the station because in just a minute, we'll be back with more calls and a brand new puzzler.
I'm on a one-way mission to bring a fishtail back.
Come on.
And even though the entire Shackleton expedition votes to spend another winter in Antarctica whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
All right. Who did I didn't have to obfuscate or unclarify or debogosify or anything. This came in from Bill Denlinger.
Oh, you're going to just give it to us as it arrived.
Well, no.
Christine.
Not really, no.
No, I didn't think so.
Here it is. My cousin Bruno put up a bird feeder in the yard. It was nothing fancy, just a flat board with raised edges. Kind of like a shallow cigar box, you know, with the lid removed. You got
you with me? I'm with you.
So the food wouldn't fall off. Anyway, as Bruno sat in his recliner in the living room watching the birds come and go to the feeder, he noticed a peculiar thing. On some days, all the birds would fly into the feeder from the north. On other days, the birds would fly in from the south. While on other days, the birds seemed to fly in from all different directions. The birds weren't tagged in any way, and he didn't know anything about birds, so he really had no way of knowing, but they appeared to Bruno to be the same birds. You with me?
Could have been relatives of the birds, though.
Could have been. He wondered why the birds did not fly to the feeder from the same direction, but seemed to have this peculiar behavior.
Yeah.
He couldn't explain it, till one day he noticed something while he was out filling up the feeder. And he said,
aha.
Now, if you think you know the answer, if you think you know what Bruno discovered, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $21 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a pressing question about your car, if your seat's on fire or something, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jessica from Huntington Beach, California.
Jessica with a J, I bet.
Yes. Good guess.
Well, what?
Well, you have to start somewhere, right?
Right.
Huntington Beach is a nice place.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
So I have an 89 Toyota Camry and have a really gross problem.
Well, this doesn't seem like the kind of car that a Southern Californian...
Well, I have a Lexus, too, but I have a problem.
Okay. Yes. Okay, this is the good maid's car, then.
Yeah, this is the maid's car, and this is the car she's calling us about. She didn't want to admit to the Lexus at all,
and you
dragged it out of it, you silver-tongued devil, you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I moved down here about a year ago, and I got down here from San Francisco, I started having these little flies in my car, like the kind that if you leave flour out too long.
Oh. Those little wheat bugs.
Yeah.
So they started flying around my car, and I tried to get rid of them, and I thought nothing of it. But then one day, there started to be little maggots in the car.
Yeah, that's where the little flies come from.
I sprayed everything down with Raid. I vacuumed every inch of the car. I got, like, in the trunk, everything.
Forget it. I can tell you already.
Forget it?
Yeah.
No!
You will never kill them.
You will never get rid of them.
Here's what's going to happen.
This is a case of natural selection in the laboratory. You will find that successive generations of these little things get bigger and bigger
and stronger.
Faster.
Yes.
The first ones that you see, they sit there, you come along and you go, boom, and he's dead. The second generation, you go, boom, and he moves before you kill him. The 17th generation, he's pushing your hand back.
Not only that, but they become immune to the raid.
We had these.
You'll have to burn the car.
We had these bugs in our kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
You know, this was an April Fool's prank of mine.
You're the one who
I put those in with one little larva? I sneaked a box of cereal with these bugs into my brother's cupboard. And he had to move. For 5 years, he couldn't get rid of them.
Well, the thing is, I couldn't get rid of them. Every once in a while, I would think they were gone. And they came in, by the way, in a box of cereal.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But we tried everything, and we finally got so desperate. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
We ripped the kitchen apart. We tore down the walls.
And, of course, they had to put a new kitchen in. Now, who came up with that idea?
My wife. She said, I know how to get rid of these, hon. We'll tear down this wall. So we tear down the wall, and sure enough, they're inside the wall.
Oh.
We get rid of everything. We rebuild. We have a brand new kitchen.
And a party, a coming out party. For
6 months later, I open the cabinet door, and a bug flies out. So I moved. Because I knew it was hopeless. So just take this car. You're at the beach, drive it right in the water. And just leave it there and walk away.
All right, so there's no hope.
There's no hope, man. I can't, I don't know what to do.
Do you have them in your house yet, the bugs?
Well, we had them in our house and we got them out, and it was from a box of cereal. I don't go to that store anymore that I got that cereal at.
Yeah, you can buy traps. You know, they're all kind. You can just hang shell, no pest strips from every square inch of the headliner in the car.
Spray the inside of the car with DDT.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, the thing is, you don't want to spray anything in there that's going to harm you.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
You know, so
that's why it isn't worth it. You're going to have to burn your car.
Well, here's the thing. If you wait too long, eventually they will find their way back to the house.
Yeah.
Would you rather have them in your car or the house?
In the car.
In the car, yeah. So I would get rid of the car.
All right.
Don't sell it to an immediate neighbor. Somebody way far away.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck, Jessica.
Sell it to someone in San Francisco.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, we made her day, didn't we? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I live in Geneva, Illinois.
Hi, Mark. What's going on?
Well, I drive a 1985 Volvo 240 with 271,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And last fall, I was driving along, and only because I had a exercise bike sticking out of my rear window did I hear my tailpipe dragging on the pavement.
Otherwise, you would have been oblivious, right?
Exactly, yeah. And make a long story short, my muffler ended up falling off.
Yeah.
So I ripped it off and drove home and took it to my mechanic, and he said, well, you've still got the front muffler on this car, and given its age and all that stuff, you may as well just leave it off. So my question is that all right? Are there environmental drawbacks to not having the rear muffler or gas mileage issues, or is it really okay to just leave it off?
Well, it's louder with the thing off.
Right.
You probably noticed that.
Well, how long has it been off?
A couple of months. Actually, now.
And have you noticed?
And you're really concerned about it because you waited till now to call us.
I didn't really want to spend the money, but thought it was a good question.
It is a good. Have you noticed a big increase in mileage? I bet not.
No.
Yeah, so that you'd have to take off the rest of the exhaust system. And if you were to do that, it would really be loud.
Yeah.
But you would then put the engine in jeopardy, which I don't think you're too worried about considering its age.
Well, it does need to last me at least another year and a half until I graduate from grad school. So.
All right. Well, in which case, I think you should put the rear muffler on because I think the bigger danger is fumes in the car.
Okay.
You know, and a vehicle that's this age is likely to have plenty of spots on the undercarriage where...
Oh, definitely.
Holes.
Holes.
Yeah. That's it, man.
I think there's more Bondo under there than sheet metal.
Yeah. And so, you know, the whole idea of the exhaust system is that the tailpipe emerges at the back of the car or the side where...
Beyond
the car.
Okay.
So in this point, the terminus of your exhaust system is right in front of the rear axle.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
And that ain't so good.
Okay.
So, you know, and the thing is, what happens with CO poisoning is it's slow and it's undetectable, and it makes you stupider by the day.
My brother's had it for so long.
So we've both been afflicted with it. You know, we're CO poisoning survivors. But the thing is, if he gets you, you're never going to get out of graduate school. If you'll get closer and closer, they'll keep saying, you know, Mark, you just need a couple of more. You know, we want you to fix up your dissertation a little bit. You might be there for 20 more years, and you'll be sentenced to driving the same 85 Volvo. So get it fixed, and you'll save your life, and you'll get out of grad school, and everyone will be happy.
Yeah,
and
it's
probably $150 to fix it, I think, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really, you know, if you're really desperate and hard up for money, you can fix it with tomato cans. But I would buy a real muffler.
Okay.
What are you getting a degree in?
My master's in divinity, actually. I'm in seminary.
Oh, okay.
Well, then that'll fix it. Good luck, man.
Maybe you can divine a new one. Anyway, see you, Mark.
I can do. Thanks for your help.
All right, thanks for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. I think that's it. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heather calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Hi, Heather. What's up?
Well, I'm calling about my 1991 Alfa Romeo Spider Veloce. I'm considering taking a job in Italy, and I can bring one car with me.
And that's it.
No, why would you bring? They got them over there.
No, but it's not my car. So I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to finish the restoration of my car in her place of birth.
Yeah.
But my question to you is my U.S. Alfa sort of the same Alfa that was produced for sale in Italy mechanically? You know, am I going to be able to get parts for it there? Is there something different about the
Well, you can't get parts for it here.
Oh, I know that. That's one of the reasons I thought I'd take it to Italy.
Yeah, you would have a better chance in Italy.
Tell us what you want to get done over there.
Well, I've replaced the transmission. I've done most of the mechanical issues. I mean, I have the standard oil leak that will never seem to go away.
The leak, it's got an S on the end.
Yeah.
Leaks.
This is not one thing leaking, it's another. I need to do some cosmetic stuff. I can't find a new dashboard for her. It's like she's too new for the aftermarket repair.
Do you have any engine-related things that you need to get done?
To my knowledge, no, but she has 70,000 miles on her, so I'm always sort of afraid that something
70?
Horrific is going to happen. 70.
Only 70?
She's beautiful. It took a long
time. You know what? How long are you going to be in Italy, and where are you going to be?
I'll be in Sigonella, and I would be there for 2 years.
Where is that?
Sigonella. It's on that little island off the boot.
Oh, right.
There's a big naval base there.
Yeah. Ah, I see.
And what are you going to be
doing? You're not going to get anything done there, you know
that. And what are you going to be doing there?
I'm in the military.
Yeah, of course.
I would be stationed there.
Oh, great. That would be wonderful. Because you probably don't speak Italian too well, do you?
No, I don't speak Italian.
You might need, you might need a few guys to come along and help you translate. My brother's available.
I'll have room, and I'll send you an email, and you guys can visit whenever you want.
Okay. Well, on this little island, you might not find people who will...
You're not going to find anybody on the island. And I'm beginning to think this is going to be a pain in the neck to even have with me.
And do you really want Italians working on your car?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I would be tempted to leave this car here.
Okay.
How big is the island, by the way?
It's little. I mean, I could probably drive it and
drive all
hours.
Around it.
Your idea is that when you had free time, you would put this car on a ferry boat and get it to the mainland and tour around in the Amalfi
Coast.
Yeah, it's
like a two-hour ferry ride to the mainland.
Right, and then you'd be free to go to Positano and all those places.
Yes, and cruise around Europe on vacation.
Yeah. We could meet you in Positano.
Okay. It's a date.
The ideal thing would be to take it someplace that's not on the island.
Okay.
Get them to fix the car.
Oh, yeah, you've got to get off the island.
And then when it's fixed and you take a couple of weeks off, you can tool around all over southern Italy. And then when stuff that they fixed breaks, you could just take it back to them and leave it there until they fix this stuff again.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, if the problem is getting parts, you can get the parts in Italy and ship them back.
Right, because I could at least while I was there get parts that I can't.
Oh, that's another possibility. Right, you could find out from your guys here what they need, and then you could have the parts sent. You could probably smuggle them out in your, you know, to make the government pay for them.
Yeah, in your military guys.
Pack them in my house. Oh, no.
Right, your footlocker, right?
Yeah.
Getting fenders in a footlocker, but I'm sure there's a way. You fold them.
But if you want to drive around in southern Italy or middle Italy, I would do that in a rented car.
Okay.
I wouldn't mess with this.
But it won't be an adventure.
No.
Why? What is she going to rent?
No,
Honda?
No.
She's going to rent an Italian car.
No, but it won't be the same as Heather being able to say, I drove all
Italy.
Around southern Italy when I was stationed there.
She won't be able to say this car because she'll be able to say the car that I used to own, which I had to leave there because it got smashed up by some crazy Italian wacko.
No. I think, Heather, if you want to take the car with you, you take it. It'll be something you'll tell your grandchildren about. and you'll still have the car because you'll never let go of it.
No, I think
I think you take the Alpha and it'll be an adventure.
Okay.
And what's the worst thing that can happen?
Worst thing that can happen is I can lose her and I have to go find her.
So make sure you take a lot of photos so you'll have some proof that you were there with the car. And
okay.
I think that'll be fun. It'll be great to hang those photos on your wall and say, this is when the car and I got smashed up.
Yeah. Hope that it gets demolished in the first year. You'll have a whole year to look for another one.
Yeah. Well, don't be so pessimistic. I think you're going to have a great time and buona fortuna, as they say, which means good luck.
Oh, thank you, guys.
See you, Heather.
Yeah, good luck,
bye.
Heather.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Jose duck pate, shrimp satay, beef filet, hot beignet, peach flambe, chilled vouvray, and warm Bengay brunch melee is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our lost luggage tracker is Lester Carey. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our Jeep driver is Jocelyn DeContents. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Da Vinci Code debunkers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1216, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, make your own noises.
That's right, and we're not talking about the results of your bean burrito.
No.
Now you can record your latest car noise on your smartphone and then post it to our Car Talk community, where our lurking geniuses will try to diagnose it for you.
We have lurking geniuses?
Doesn't everybody? You can also imitate the noise if you prefer from the privacy of your own home, which may not help with the diagnosis, but will give everyone else a good laugh. Get details on how to post your noise right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Carl Castle wonders if that job-selling aluminum siding is still available, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.